Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure, as you know, to be part of your day. And you're going to be glad you hung out with us because our good friend Nick Bibby is back in the building. Nick is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the principal of the Bibby Group. He is also an outstanding franchise expert, and he's here to talk to us about that very topic. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be with you, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. One of the things I know you want to talk about today is some, I think, is franchise due diligence. Is that right?
Correct.
And tell us, now we've talked about due diligence on the show before. My audience should know what that means, but go ahead and tell us what it means anyway.
Okay. You have another fellow on your show who I like very much. I think it's Joel LaBava, is it?
Joel LaBava, yeah, out of Cleveland.
Yep. Joel's a very fine fellow, and he and I are in a similar line of business, but we approach it from two different ways. Joel represents franchisors,
mm-hmm.
which means when somebody is interested in a franchise, Joel will expose a particular franchise offering to his clients and say, I won't say how he does it because he has his own forum, but we'll expose people to various franchise offerings
right.
and see if there's a fit.
Mm-hmm.
He, in turn, of course, represents the franchisor. Now, that's his form of due diligence. Mine comes from completely the opposite direction. I represent the buyer for a fee and help the buyer test various systems to see if there's a fit.
Right.
The pivotal question is, who's paying the fee? In my case, my buyer is paying the fee for me to help look for a franchise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in terms of due diligence, I think we're both looking for, quote, best fit between prospective franchisee and franchise offering.
Right. Absolutely. And so the due diligence, though, is the process of the research process that you go through to make sure that you've identified the good, the bad, and the ugly so you can make a proper decision.
Exactly right. And we've talked before about this focus program that the Bibby Group uses, which involves personal decisions first. In other words, should I really be working for myself, and if so, what type of business should it be? So we start first with the personal decision about entrepreneurship and then select one or two segments within franchising. And as you well know, franchising is represented by nearly 100 industry segments. For example, pizza, barbershop, quick printing. Almost 100 different segments. So a person really has to refine their taste first.
But you said something.
Different industry segments. My goodness, you have nearly 3,500 different franchise offerings to pick from.
But you said something a minute ago, Nick, that I want to stop on for a second.
Yeah.
You talked about looking at yourself and talking about the entrepreneurial thing within yourself. So what you basically are saying is you begin the due diligence process on yourself.
No question about it. And I don't know. I think a lot of people today follow that thought, but without a system. And, you know, several years ago, Jim, and I do have my second master's in counseling, and years ago, I developed the focus program for emerging entrepreneurs, which is a very intense homework-focused insight program that helps people decide whether or not they should be in business. And I ask each and every client of mine on that side of the fence. When I say on that side of the fence, the major part of my business is actually franchising new concepts, bringing new concepts to market.
Right.
But when working with a prospective entrepreneur or franchisee, I ask that everybody first complete the focus program. And by the way, I'd like to see them do it. It's not an expensive proposition. They do it online for about $100, and it takes them 4 to 6 weeks to complete the process.
Right.
But that's, yes, absolutely. Entrepreneurship begins with a personal plan, not a business plan.
It's not for everybody.
No.
And just because you don't like your boss, just because you lost your job, just because you need more money, that's not in and of itself your license to go be a business owner.
Jim, you hit it on the head. You can't do it because you're in need of money. You better be made for this business of entrepreneurship, or you have a big surprise in the offing.
And a lot of people would take issue with you calling a franchisee an entrepreneur, but you know, my definition of entrepreneurship is a broad one, and I don't have a problem with it. In fact, I call being a franchisee, meaning you bought a franchise from someone, I call that entrepreneurial coloring inside the lines.
Well, I agree with you totally. I mean, in this focus program, by the way, Jim, I have come up with 5 different entrepreneurial types, all on a scale of independence. How much independence do I require? The franchisee is kind of to the left side of the scale, because I look at franchisees totally as entrepreneurs because they've invested in a business. But let me define it this way. As a franchisee, I say to my franchisor, help me, but leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let's get into some of the steps of, now that we've sort of covered, you know, what it takes, what you know, that you got to look at yourself. What are some of the elements of due diligence? Give us a quick one before we go to a break on actually evaluating the offering.
Okay, once we reach the decision of or answer the question, should I be in business myself, and I pick the right category of franchising, we want to investigate first, I believe, the staff of the offering. Are we comfortable being in business with these people for the next 10 to 20
mm-hmm.
years?
Yep. We got to make sure, because these guys are going to be your partners, the franchisor.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get to know these guys really well. You're going to have to spend a lot of time with them, and you got to make sure that you like these guys. It's 20 after. We're going to be right back with Nick Bibby right after these messages. A lot more to come. Stay with us.
Side trying to make a better decision about should they and which one should it be.
Right, absolutely. Now we're talking about the due diligence part of making these decisions, and one of your first points was make sure that you actually don't mind being around the people you're buying a franchise from.
Yeah, I think that's really critical.
Is this a real painful thing if you love the franchise idea, but the people you're buying it from, you just can't stand them? They're just not fun people to be around? What do you do?
You have a good way of asking these questions. Frankly, I'd look at it like a hiring or a job application process. If you can't stand your potential boss, and I know the franchisor is not your boss, but if you can't stand the people you might be working with after making a major investment in their company, then you better run like hell, because it's not going to be afterwards.
It's not going to get better, is it?
No. I think that's why I pretty much put it at the top of my list.
Before you fall in love with the franchise, see if you can't find a way to fall in love with the franchisors.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because it's not going to be much fun if you put money into your business, quote, their business, or slash their business, and then you can't stand to talk to them, you know, when it comes time for support down the road.
Well, exactly, and you may not always have your better roses. You know, you may have a better rocks before you have a better roses. You may need somebody to help you work things out, and you're going to need people who you have an affinity for, and they for you. So So, and you said a minute ago, Nick, that these guys weren't going to be your boss, but the truth is, in some elements of your business, they will be your boss.
Yes, and it's well spelled out, or should be well spelled out and defined by the franchise agreement that you sign. And, you know, Jim, you just made another interesting point, so I'm going to skip ahead a few steps, because you talked just a second ago about the boss, you know, in relationship and getting along.
Mm-hmm.
It's critically important for a franchisee or a prospective franchisee to understand that there are two different levels of payment within a franchise system. You pay a franchise fee to, quote, be admitted to the club. And that buys you your initial training, your use of the signage, your use of the operations manual, and perhaps a given specified territory, a number of things. But you then also pay an ongoing royalty. So there are two forms of payment. And if you were just paying a franchisor to train you in the use of a system and then you said goodbye, that would actually be, under the FTC rules, more a business opportunity as opposed to a franchise.
Right, right.
Because you're then free to use your own name and mm-hmm. use the system or not use it. Once you adopt the use of the system, you pay the franchisor money and you use their name, you're a franchisee in almost every franchise system. Now, there are some mm-hmm. without. But in almost every franchise system out of 3,500 available, you're going to pay some kind of an ongoing royalty, whether that's a percentage of sales or a flat fee every month.
Mm-hmm.
So you should not only expect that you're going to interact with this franchisor and do serious business with them, you should expect that you're going to pay for that interaction as well.
And you don't want to begrudge every check you write either.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
No, you have it exactly.
Right. I got about 1 minute left, Nick. What's a last good thought?
Last good thought, looking for a franchise, obviously speak to current and past franchisees for their opinions of the relationship, and those names are within the Uniform Franchise Offering Circular, the UFOC, which, by the way, this year will be changed to an FDD, Franchise Disclosure Document. All of those names are available for research.
You must go talk to an existing franchisee. And when I say, and the operative word there, I think, Nick, is go. You know, it's not. I don't think it's enough just to call them.
Again, you nailed it, Jim, because when you go, you also get a flavor for the business.
Yep. So, find one of them who will let you spend some time with them.
Yep.
Don't just call them. You need to make some phone calls, but you need to go visit one or two of them, don't you?
Exactly right.
And get the skinny on what's really going on. Hey, Nick, give us that website again, please.
BibbyGroup.com.
BibbyGroup.com. Hey, will you come back again real soon?
Thank you so much, Jim.
It's always a pleasure. Nick Bibby, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise. Quick break, right back after these messages. Stay with me.
Tell me the truth if you have to. Say what you see, fit, but don't ask me why. Love never seems to last you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.